Xavier.
The UW is one of the 50 schools nationwide that piloted the College Board's new adversity index. So understand that there's the ACT and the SAT. If you're on the West Coast or East Coast, you take the SAT. If you're in the Midwest, you take the ACT. Kids that get into big schools like Stanford and Harvard take the SAT, not the ACT. There's competition between these two tests. The SAT, in order to continue, although it's been losing ground recently, decided they're going to add something new to their menu, which is this adversity index.
Yes.
So the adversity index will be able to say, well, we're going to talk about race without actually calling it race, and we're going to allow these colleges to
be able to get
a better idea of stereotypes.
Well, but the thing is, it's not a racial component. It is neighborhood, crime rate, median income, those kinds of things.
Right.
And the idea is it's diversity, not race. And the diversity component of students dropped precipitously when we voted not to use race as a determining factor in these colleges. So there are a lot of interesting things going on here. First off, right now, a lot of people are mad at SAT and ACT because they think they are culturally biased anyway against Hispanics and African-Americans and other minorities. Because of that, a lot of people are withdrawing from that. So one of the responses, this is the accusation, one of the responses to SAT has, they've come up with this, which a College Board owns SAT, they come up with this diversity component, and they'll do all the study. And then the question is, are they just doing it to cover up their own biases, to regain some of the people that have walked away from it? University of Washington is one of those universities, and it's the only one in the state that said, "Yeah, we'll be on the, we'll do this kind of a pilot program with you because we realize your data about these students is better than the kind of data that we can get, and so we're on board." It's just meant as one of multiple factors to be included, including an SAT score and your GPA and everything else. But it is another.
It really eliminates the individuality, doesn't it? And really allows these organizations to have sweeping general. No, not at all. Absolutely opposite. What it does, it takes data points. It takes your school and takes your neighborhood. It says it takes family structure, but it never asks about family structure. It asks about school. And it asks about neighborhood. And then it just makes a bunch of assumptions based upon that. They never really talk to the individuals. You don't know if it has a mother and a father in the house, but the mom's got cancer. The guy works, the dad works three jobs in order to pay for the mom's cancer treatment. We don't know about that. We don't know if
Ideally, you do. The more you know, the better. And this gives you more data points because right now the only data point we have is a GPA and an SAT score.
But we're extrapolating out a particular portrait of an individual based upon the school and based upon the neighborhood.
But that's true of all other scores, all the test scores as well. So what you do here is it's just one other component. If you come from a neighborhood with a high crime rate and the average GPA, high school GPA in a high crime rate is something like 2.4,
right,
and you get a 2.9 or a 3.0, that is more remarkable than somebody getting a 3.0 in a school with a higher income where the average is 4.0.
But what do you?
That's a factor. That's all.
But what if let's take the 3.0. Let's include in there that there's some horrible thing that's happening inside that family. Let's assume.
That's right.
Let's make some just crazy assumptions that the kid's getting a 3.0, but the father is an alcoholic, the mom is addicted to drugs, and the father beats up the mother, and the father is constantly going away, disappearing.
That could be.
So that's an adversity, but we never see that.
How do
that's
you know, John? Because it says there are 15 different factors.
Right.
They determine the level of difficulty and strife an applicant has faced. So
family structure
is one of
the questions they ask you that they're taking these points from. One is your school you go to, and the second is the neighborhood. They extrapolate out from those two.
Why do you think there are only two?
Those only two. What other questions do they ask?
Well, I don't know. The thing is, they're talking about 15 factors. This article is a newspaper article. It's not the actual environmental context dashboard that is they're referring to.
That's why I looked up to see how many questions, and those are the two. And from those two, they then make a series of assumptions. But the other crazy thing is they're not going to even tell you your adversity score because they don't want you to try to game the system.
That's right.
Right.
And people always try to game systems anyway, but that's just one way to kind of inhibit it. But I think this just seems like a positive. The more you know about somebody, if you've got 15 factors involved in this, that's a helpful thing.
It's
based on a series, but
it's not the individual. You're going on a bunch of it. You're using data points.
Yep.
You're assuming.
Yes.
We're assuming because you live here, we're assuming that. We're assuming because you live here, we're assuming you are moving yourself. You're not actually learning about the individual.
You know more about that individual than you did before with just an SAT score.
Okay.
Yes, because you know about you have 15 factors.
What about my story of the person with a 3.0 in the rich school?
Yes.
The dad's an alcoholic and beats up the mom.
Yes, I think that could be seen as an adversity score, too.
How do we find that? Because already we've written them off because they go to a good school. Because they go to a good school and they have a good neighborhood.
No. It all is supposed to be taken into account. Family structure is supposed to be taken into account. And I would think, John, I know you're Richie Rich, but you struggled in school. If somehow we could acknowledge that, listen, John's going to make it. John may be failing out of school, but he's got all sorts of issues that he's dealing with. He's got dyslexia. Maybe he has ADHD. I mean, these are the kinds of things. And look at the kind of grit that puts you where you are today. If we could have tapped into that, you might have had a more successful college career. And because of that, we recognize that. The idea of grit, the idea that you can push your way through this, you're a better bet than somebody else who maybe, comes from more placid circumstances, but you actually have, proven yourself. Mm. That's what they're trying to get at.
I see.
Well, John, you're a good example.
No, because they don't ask. If they asked about it, they would find out that I lived at 19010, which is an extremely rich neighborhood,
yes.
And I went to an extremely high-functioning school. So I would not get any points.
Okay,
because those are the two questions that they ask. They don't ask about the other stuff in the SAT. Besides, the other part of it is a college degree may or may not have helped me or hurt me. I am where I am.
I know.
And I don't think I could possibly be more successful.
But these are...
I get to work with you.
Man.
And again, happy birthday to you.
Let me count the ways.
Happy birthday to you. Happy
don't
birthday.
Don't distract it from you, John. You're uncomfortable with the focus. Okay, let's say that maybe because you're Richie Rich, you wouldn't get that. But maybe there's a John Curley who's poor.
Yes.
Maybe there's a John Curley that we can establish that, you know, this kid, despite the fact that he comes from all these circumstances and despite the fact of that he doesn't do well in his grades and can't, do well in SAT score, he does have things that he's compensating for. And look at how remarkable it is that he's overcome them. Right. We should encourage
it's
that
arm race
at the college level.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but I mean, if college is going to help you, that's a good thing.
All right.
No.
I have my kids, Charlie took the SATs on Saturday, so it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah.
Besides, I've also found that if you take an SAT
score. I could testify to her adversity score, given you as the dad, right?
I would like to see it sometime where people realize the college degree is not that necessary.
Okay, that's fine.
There's some other alternative.
This is a college admissions, though, so if you're University of Washington, you can't say, well, let's get rid of colleges. But you're right. I mean, you don't have to go to college.
Who has
and there
the
a lot
most
of
amount of master's degrees? And the answer is Nigerians. Nigerians living in the United States have 17% master's degrees. White, just 8%. Asians, 12%. And it's a crazy reason why Nigerians have the most amount of master's. They're the most educated people in the United States.
Nigerians.
And by the way, where are we?
Yeah,
where are we?
We are like 72nd most popular talk show in Nigeria. Well, now we know why.
I think it's all obvious. Everything falls into place. We'll take a fast break. Come back.